WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Texas lawmakers were scheduled to vote this afternoon on a measure that would strengthen President Trump's majority in Congress, but, says ABC's Jim Ryan in Dallas,
Texas House Democrats have responded by leaving the state and heading to Chicago in an attempt to deny a quorum and prevent a vote on the GOP-drawn map. Republican Governor Greg Abbott accuses the absent lawmakers of a dereliction of their duty, reminding them that they could be fined, arrested, or kicked out of office for leaving in the middle of a special legislative session.
Democrats say the rare mid-decade redistricting is discriminatory and a violation of the Voting Rights Act. President Trump says he will appoint a new head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics this week. He fired the previous director when poor jobs numbers came out on Friday. Tariffs on almost all of America's trading partners kick in this week. Almost all economists say consumers should brace themselves for price increases. Red flag fire warnings up in Arizona, Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, and Oregon as hot, dry weather persists in the West. This is ABC News.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to become community scientists by contributing to the Game Bird Survey. According to a press release, the survey will be open through the end of the month and seeks to measure the reproductive status of game birds across the state. The data collected from the surveys is then used to help DNR officials make informed population management decisions for the birds. More information and a link to download the survey can be found on the Department of Natural Resources website. Wisconsin residents will soon no longer need to pay state sales taxes on their electric and natural gas bills year-round under the new biennial budget. The state sales tax exemption had previously applied only from November to April when utility bills tend to be higher due to the winter weather. Under the new budget, the sales tax exemption will apply year-round and is estimated to save residents a combined nearly $180 million over the next 2 years. The sales tax will automatically be removed from energy bills beginning October 1st. Hayward area residents are being invited to the local National Night Out event this week. The event is sponsored by a number of community organizations like Tamarack Health and the American Birkebeiner Foundation and will take place from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Tuesday night behind the Hayward Intermediate School on 5th Street. It will include a number of demonstrations from local law enforcement authorities, fire department crews, and other community agencies. There will also be a LifeLink helicopter landing as well as free bike helmets and food. Wildlife officials say an eaglet that was found in distress along Highway 63 near Mason in late July is recovering well at the Winged Freedom Raptor Hospital in Spooner. The Bayfield County Sheriff's Office says the injured bird was reported on July 23rd. Winged Freedom Raptor Hospital officials estimated the eagle was less than 4 months old when it arrived in critical condition from starvation and dehydration. They believe the eagle may have initially injured itself while learning to fly. They also believe it could have been infected by West Nile virus. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers take on the Braves.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight in Atlanta, where the Brewers face the Braves. Quinn Priester on the mound from Milwaukee against the Braves. Eric Fetty. The Brewers had to place Jacob Mizorowski on the 15-day IL over the weekend. The Miz still dealing with a severely bruised shin bone after getting hit with a ball during the Cubs game last week. The crew brought up Logan Henderson to start in their 14-3 win over the Nationals to complete a sweep. Outfielder Sal Frelick dealing with a knee injury Pat Murphy revealed over the weekend.
It's part of his meniscus. He's had surgery on it back in 19, and yeah, the doctors will have to tell you what they think. I mean, we got Churio down for a while. Now Sal, we don't exactly position player depth. We have some, but it's not as deep as we'd like, but yeah, let's keep rolling.
The Brewers remain in first place, 2 games ahead of the Cubs. NFL, the Packers have the day off. Tight end Tucker Kraft sat out family night with a groin injury. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires happening today. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 58 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most, in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will join us to break down all the weekend news. We go beyond the cheese with Poppy Bakery. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
There are 34 million.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06 now on this Monday morning, August 4th. 2025, nice to have you along here. Parker Olson has the day off, but Greg Bach is joining us here. And so is Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and so is Up North News reporter Selena Heller, and so is meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. It was, you know, a weekend where the smoke, again, depends on where you are in the state, but it had dissipated just enough yesterday that you could do some of the things you want to do outdoors. It wasn't like as bad as Thursday, Friday was, but it is still, it's definitely still something that's lingering around here. It's going to be, I mean, kind of one of the weather stories of the summer, I suppose, here.
Yeah, it sure is.
Here, Robin Tigerton puts it this way. Mike, the farmer who leases my family farm, has told me that crops are doing well, busy baling hay, but the smoke blocking the sunshine has made it rough with the morning dew. We noticed that as well. You can't get out and mow the lawn as early as you normally would because, again, that sun is just not burning through as much as you'd like it to.
No, it's not. We've got patchy fog, too, all over the place. Mm-hmm. Definitely down towards Bosque Belle, Camp Douglas this morning. A lot of southwestern areas and northeastern spots of the state. We've got this high-pressure system, right? It moved in from Canada. It's been sitting over us all weekend. And it is still going to stay here today. It's kind of slid over to Michigan a little bit, but another one builds in behind it. And long story short, it's going to be a dry day and another smoke-filled day. So, of course, we have that air quality alert that expires at noon, but it could get extended one more day. I think by tomorrow, we should for sure be in the clear from this wildfire smoke. The winds start to pick up out of the south, about 15 miles per hour. That should be enough to kick it on out of here. And then, of course, as we go to later in the week, that whole jet stream shifts and active weather moves back in. We've got the pattern just kind of shifting out of the south and bringing in more storms, more heat, and more humidity, too. So right now, it is still crisp. It is still comfortable. Temperatures are at about 48 degrees in Tomahawk, 72 degrees into Waukesha, and highs today will climb to the upper 70s to low 80s all across the state. It is still going to be comfortable dew points. But by Wednesday, it starts to turn muggy, and by Thursday, we're getting hot and humid. Now, rain holds off until tomorrow. We could see a few isolated showers, possibly far north. And that's about it. As we go into later in the week, we'll see more storms.
Okay. From Tigerton, from Rob, good morning. Fair and hazy, 55 degrees. Today, I have mowing jobs in Wittenberg. Whenever I hear Greg's voice, I can hear him saying, drink my water.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you could hear him saying it right now.
Drink your water, Rob.
There we
drink
go.
Drink your water.
Says I mowed Saturday in rural Tigerton, got stung by a bee, and swelled up around his elbow, had to ice it down. Let's see, he's got another note or two here from us. Oh, he had a cat at my house who had kittens in the garage where I keep my truck and lawnmowers. I now have an army of cats outside that stay in the barn. We talked about Mike, who leases his family farm. Mike told me to say hi to Kristen. He supports Kristen and her fight. So there you go.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, Mike.
I know. You just got... Oh, and Rob also noted, I love Brittany's videos on social media from the EAA Air Venture. I was going to mention that too, Brittany. Did you do more than one? I saw one on social media over the weekend.
Yeah, I've been slowly putting them all together. So they're more and more coming out. But yeah, got a couple of them.
Okay. Well, great. So again, look for Brittany there on social media if you want to see what all she was talking about with the camping and the rain and the exhibitions.
The camping and the rain and the planes. Good Lord.
So much. Brittany, thanks. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
Hey, a reminder that if you miss an episode of our show at any point, there's a great way to make sure that you can go back and listen, and that would be to pod this program. Head over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow the show that way. You can also do it over at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. All right, so Selena, the Combine Demolition Derby. I know we've talked about this at least once before, maybe a couple of times. Because I don't know that they necessarily invented it at the Jackson County Fair, but they sure have perfected it.
Oh, you're on mute, Selena.
Okay.
Take, yep. Okay. Yes, no, it's been around. And, you know, we got to thinking about it, and they've been doing it for quite a while, a lot of years. But it's in other county fairs. It's in a few other states, as I was kind of looking at it a couple of years ago, where they've done combine demolition derbies. But like a couple of years ago, they had 17 combines at the Jackson County Fair. So that was a pretty big deal. That's a lot of combines.
Yes, it is. And you talked to a couple of folks who tell us kind of more of the basics about it all.
Yeah. So Mark Emerson, he's 66. He's and all these farmers kind of, and Sam McNulty, they're buddies, and they kind of get together and do this every year. There's a lot of farmers and their kids now are in it, and nephews and things like that. So they're kind of all ag related. If they're not farmers, they have businesses that are ag related or something like that. So it's just a fun time for them. And it's at the Jackson County Fair, and there's a demolition derby, a regular derby with cars and trucks. And gosh, back in the day, my brothers did it. So I got to paint the cars. And then there's a powder puff. So with girls driving too. So my brothers always thought I should drive, but I never did.
Nice to know you have boundaries someplace. You're not going to drive the demolition derby.
Well, and it was the year, and my friends wanted me to. I was on the Miss Jackson County court, and they're like, you have to drive in the demolition derby. You have to do it. I'm like, oh boy, I don't know.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Did not know you were on the court.
I was back in the day. Yes.
Okay. All right. What about you, Kristen? Were you in the running for Ms. Kakana or anything like that at some point?
I'm just trying to clear this picture of Selena driving a combine, or maybe Whiskers driving in a very Toonsis kind of way. Like
Toonsis, the combine driving cat. It always ends poorly.
Well, let's
put a helmet on.
While we play with those visuals, let's hear from Mark Emerson, who tells us more about the Combine Demolition Derby at the Jackson County Fair.
Well, we get a bunch of guys together. We take combines. We beef them up some. We got to take the windows out, the glass all out and stuff. And we got to just beef the heads up so the heads stay on. And we go out there and smash into everybody just to see how much damage we can do. The last one standing is the winner usually. But we'll have heats today, so they'll take the top two out of five or six or whatever we have in each class and then run in the final then. And then there'll be six in the final, and the last one standing is the winner.
This is a big spectacle.
Yeah, yeah. And we make a lot of noise, a lot of crunching and stuff, banging and stuff. The one that Sam Kling, he's been tipped over twice now. He got tipped over in Marshfield and he got tipped over in Galesville 2 weeks ago. But he didn't get hurt or anything, so that's a good thing. And he's back here now again, so he's going again with the same one. So, yeah, we've been taking some of these same ones for many years. I think I started 20 years ago with this. And then it sat for like five. We didn't have any demos. And we started Blackover, and, you know, so we've been here for at least 15, 16 or more.
And these are pricey machines, but these aren't ones that are functioning.
They're wore out before we buy them. And like I said, a lot of them like his, he'll fix them up and, you know, and then take the engine out after they're done and sell the engine and get their money back out of it and stuff. So you actually don't really have much in at all invested in them. So we have a little fun and we all get together. You know, we all get along really good.
Until we're out on the track.
Yeah, when we're on the track, we're competition. But when we're done, or before, we'll help each other out. When we're done, we'll help each other out. But yeah, when we're out there, we're all out for ourselves.
I'm assuming that was Sam that we heard in the background there. Yep. Is that Sam McNulty?
Yes, I talk to them every year. They're the best. I love them. I love talking with them. And Bill McNulty was actually the winner this year, Sam's brother. No. So, and Bill is 66 also. So it's fun.
So Sam gets, they get tipped over, but they don't get injured. You're getting tipped over in a combine. All right. This isn't like mythical cow tipping. This is actual combine tipping, and they're not getting hurt.
Yeah, they have to beef up the cages around them. They have to wear a seatbelt. Safety is the priority. They move the gas tanks inside. So, you know.
Oh, man.
They're also made of different stuff than us, Pat. They're just made differently.
Yeah, they are. Let's give a listen to Sam McNulty talk about it.
It's just a rush. We're all farmers. It's one way to let off a lot of steam. Like Mark said, we're the best of friends. But when it's out there, it's only for one. Yeah. But yeah, they're all wore out combines that we find laying at auctions or sitting in somebody's boneyard, and it's just fun. And I think, I mean, I shouldn't say this, but the crowd loves the combines a lot better than the cars.
Ooh, shots fired right there at the cars. I think the Demolition Derby still does well. Now, is it still the case? I know a year or two ago you told me that the ticket sales for the Combine Demolition Derby do so well, it practically subsidizes the rest of the Jackson County Fair.
It is typically the biggest day of the fair, so in terms of admission. I sell tickets to the grandstand events. That's my job at the fair. It has been since like high school. So I'm at the Demolition Derby. I have been at that event probably every year since high school. And that's my job. So the line is long. And yes, the fair does well on that day because it's such a popular event. People love, love, love it. After all of these years, it hasn't, you know, waned in entertainment value or interest. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Do they have anything remotely like that by either one of you guys, Greg or Kristen? I mean, there's. I mean, it is a breed unto itself, basically.
I mean, I think that if I look, I mean, I'm sure we're seeing, because we're seeing County Fair, I think, is coming up soon, and Kenosha County Fair. I'm sure there's something, but a combine demolition derby? I don't think so.
No, this is, and we mentioned Milo Music earlier, Selena, and you said you've been to Milo Music. Did you were there for a work thing?
Yeah, can you imagine? I got to go there and stay there and watch music for work when I worked in economic development for the city. A team of us from Altoona, they were developing their new park here, and so they wanted ideas. I went there for ideas, and Visit Eau Claire, our kind of tourist organization, went there for ideas. So we got to go there and stay for work to learn, as an example, what Appleton did with Milo Music. So it was really cool.
Which, by the way, paid off because, I mean, Eau Claire is its music festivals are just blossoming around the whole area.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We're kind of known for you know, our music events over here. And now all of the parks here have, and probably everywhere now in Wisconsin is really picking up on this, a music in the park night. And here, around here, you can go to a Sunday in Chippewa, a Monday in Altoona, and a Tuesday in Eau Claire, and then a Wednesday. And I mean, every night you can go to something around here. It's pretty cool.
There's something really cool about how the music is tied to the university there as well. So in Appleton, it's obviously Lawrence, and Eau Claire, TWEC, and the great music program there. Stevens Point has something similar. So just to see the music faculty and the students have a place where they can go and just like do their thing is so neat. Do their thing in the community.
I'm glad you mentioned the universities because over the weekend, Sherry and I finally had our belated anniversary dinner. We always go to Mona Lisa on Water Street in Eau Claire. And then we go tool around the campus where we met back in 1983. And Selena, I had not seen the progress on the new science building up there. That thing is massive.
Is it? I've been seeing pictures. Mm-hmm.
It's at the bottom of the University Hill there. They took down two dormitories from way back in the day to put up this new science building. And it's just looking so nice. But they're also tearing down Zorin Arena, where they did basketball and all the other, you know, shows and things. But they were only like halfway done. So exposed to the elements is like the bleachers and an Eau Claire logo above it. It's just really interesting just to see all the changes around campus. So
everybody's nostalgic about losing Zorn.
Oh yeah. But it's there's some nice modernization going on there. And these universities, like Kristen said, will bring you community festivals as well. This is Mornings with Pat Whitelow. Powered by
Sorry, that's my fault.
News. It's such a Monday thing. We'll be back after this. You're up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is going again for Hoskins.
We've got the action all season long. Turn it up. Brewers baseball lives on your local Civic Media radio station. 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and your home for the Brewers.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. I'm Gray Gunderson. Here's what's happening in Hayward this morning. Again, I've got my colleague, girlfriend, best friend here with me, Rachel, another member of the Civic Media Network. And we're going to chat about one of those things that makes the Northwoods the Northwoods, but also makes other places true to themselves as well. It's those celebrations, festivals, fairs. Over in Park Falls recently, we had Flamborama wrap up over this last weekend. We had the Lumberjack World Championships right here in Hayward a couple weekends ago. So as we mentioned, last we had Rachel, I believe that would have been just last week since this is only the second time I've had you on. But yeah. We mentioned at the time Rachel will be here frequently. And one of the things that makes Rachel unique to the Northwoods is that she's not from here. And specifically, Rachel, you're from Delano, Minnesota, right?
Indeed.
And actually, as we were driving around today, actually coming back from dinner, not today, but yesterday, come to think of it, I asked you what Delano's was. And as I've heard you mention before, Delano has a rather sizable 4th of July celebration. And you were able to confirm what I suspected, which is that for Delano, I mean, in Park Falls, where I grew up, Flamborama is the first weekend of August. So this year, it kicked off on August 1st, this past Friday. Mm-hmm. You confirm for me that the 4th of July celebration is your summer festival.
Yeah.
There may be other festive weekends. This is a tough topic. vocabulary wise. But specifically that 4th of July, what makes the 4th of July so unique in Delano, Minnesota that you may not see around here? Not to knock the fireworks we see in Hayward and where we've been to see them before, but what do you see over there that's what makes it Delano only?
Yeah, Delano actually is home to the not only the largest but the oldest, the longest running 4th of July celebration in the state of Minnesota. So it's a 4-day event of things going on every single day from sunrise to sundown, pretty much.
So my first question, I'm going to speak for some of the people who heard you say what you just said. And remember that the Civic Media app does mean there may be somebody listening from somewhere else in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And actually, with where some of our radio stations are located, they might just be listening on radio out of Minnesota, but I digress. You may have just plucked a nerve somewhere.
It's
in the state of Minnesota.
Who
officially, see, because I bet you people from Delano made it official.
I mean,
is this something that you okay, so first of all, what do you call a citizen of Delano? Are you a Delanoan? Delanoian?
I think it's been Delanoian, which is Delanoian? Really stupid to me. That might not be accurate, but that's what I remember.
Wow. Okay. I mean,
maybe I made that up.
If there's not a term prominent enough to come to the fore when you think of it. Well,
it's like, you know, Wikipedia, like all the official places.
Wikipedia supports this?
Yeah.
It does. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have you go ahead and Google that so that I can confirm it for you. But I know the first thing if I were to grow up in Delano, my flavor of cynicism is, okay, do we actually deserve this claim? So I'm going to the library. Okay, so Wikipedia.org does say that Delano hosts Minnesota's oldest and largest 4th of July celebration, founded in 1857. Let's see if we can find where in the... There it is. Citation needed. There is no citation on Wikipedia. I was going to say, what? I want to find the... Yeah, see?
All right.
So that was... So I'll walk you through the play-by-play of what just happened there, folks. I'm so glad that happened on the microphone. I had Rachel pull that up on her phone because I wanted to give you an answer one way or the other. And what we were able to confirm was, well, Wikipedia does state that. Wikipedia, as always, requires citations where they may exist, or it highlights that there's a lacking citation, and we have no citation. So I'm not saying that it's unverified, but I'm saying we're not able to verify it with all of 30 seconds of Googling. I don't doubt that it's true, but I still bet, and boy, I hope.
People who will fight me.
I'm going to be camping on our Facebook inbox.
Uh-huh.
I want to know. I want to know so badly. And so we'll have to do a little bit of research here. Actually, we'll have Rachel back a little bit later today, and we've still got a little bit of time left just right now. But I think if we can squeeze in a quick Google sesh here, we'll see what we can manage. And I think we'll have all of about 2 minutes to pull that off. But we'll assemble what we can. Anyway, that's one of those things. What about, I know you've also lived in La Crosse. Was there kind of an event that held the fancy of the whole town for the weekend in a town that size?
Yeah, probably the fireworks are the most talked about thing, because there's a daytime version as well. There's a daytime firework display and a nighttime one.
And we're talking about La Crosse now?
I'm sorry, Delano. I thought you meant
what held Delano's above La Crosse's.
Oh, no. That works too. That works too. So now we're just bad mouthing La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Beautiful there. I'm so sorry.
I think I'm not sure you can expect an invitation back on next Monday's segments, Rachel. We might end up with an administrative email in our inbox that La Crosse is, I mean, I don't know about you, but La Crosse is one of our, yes, it's might be the most physically beautiful place that either of us has called home that I can think of offhand. I know Delano is gorgeous in its own way. And everywhere, honestly, we live in what might be the single most beautiful combination of states, the Wisconsin-Minnesota area of the Midwest. And I'm not saying there's not significant differences between the two, as well as within those states. But at this point, we've completely lost it. Festivals. festivals. So if you are ever in Delano, Minnesota, near the beginning of July, try to stick around. Try to stick around just a little bit longer, even if it's in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Around the 4th of
July 3rd through the 6th, Delano, Minnesota is apparently the place to be. It may even rival the beauty you find in our own backyard. You have been listening, though, to WBZH's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Keep your finger on the pulse right here in Hayward at all times. Head to the website, WBZH.fm. Sign up for the newsletter. For WBZH and Civic Media, I'm Greg Gunderson. She's Rachel Casey.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you follow that familiar smell of grilled pork through the fairgrounds, it'll take you to the pork shop. I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report, and today we talk to Morgan Warwick. She's the program and marketing director at the Wisconsin Pork Association. With the state fair still in full swing, that means Wisconsin Pork's pork shop is still busy feeding fairgoers. Recent renovations to the shop mean more pork chops can be served than ever before.
Yeah, so we were really trying to kind of upgrade and modernize a little bit, make things more efficient, make something that's easier to transport if we want to go to different events. And so that was a big asset. They were custom made. We had a great crew that did it and planned for them. And so we're learning each year. But like I said, in just its couple years here, we're really excited to be able to serve more pork out of it and, like I said, increase efficiency for everybody.
The pork shop expects to sell over 25,000 pieces of pork at this year's state fair. Morgan Warwick along with us. She's the program and marketing director for the Wisconsin Pork Association. Stick with us. I'll have a look at some more news after this.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The DNR has mobilized fire control program staff across Western United States and Canada. This is in an effort to combat increased wildfire activity and assist in suppression and protection efforts. Personnel and fire suppression equipment are allocated to these fires through mutual aid agreements. The agreement is outlined by federal firefighting agencies and the Great Lakes Forest Fire Compact. The compact is comprised of Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, Manitoba, and Ontario, Canada. Their main goal is to promote resource sharing throughout the Great Lakes region, including personnel, equipment, information, training, and technology. Nearly 70 large-scale wildfires are burning over 1 million acres in the U.S. The mobilized Wisconsin firefighters and engines are slated to be on assignment for 2 weeks or until the fire subsides. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires happening today. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 58 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor and producer of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, Alan Kopischke, into the studio. Then Appleton Bookstore owner, Kaylin Bavink, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
We are back on this Monday, August 4th, 7:35 the time, and off air, we're just busy yelling at Parker because it's his day off, and yet there he is throwing comments on YouTube. Parker, go back to bed. Mm-hmm. Greg says, Parker says, Greg, it can't count as work if I'm laying in bed. It's just like my senior year of high school.
Okay, first of all, thank you. Second of all, he's 22. He's supposed to be sleeping until like 11 o'clock in the morning and stuff like that. I'm the one who wakes up 40 minutes before my alarm. That's my job as an old man. Thank you very much.
Yes, it's what we do. Let's see. From Jim in Brookfield on the text line. Hi, Pat. Try microwaving your corn when you're caught short on the grill. Put the corn in a Pyrex container. Add a little water. Cover with Saran wrap and you are good to go. Much better than boiling in water. Appreciate the tip on that one. We definitely needed something. And then for the stuffed chicken breast, again, when the charcoal was running low, and I know all these people going, yeah, see, that's why you have gas. No, I like charcoal. That's how we're doing this. But sometimes mistakes are made. Air fryer. Yes. Air fryer. The chicken breasts were at like 125. I had to get them to 165. Starting them on the grill and then finishing in the air fryer, such a good thing. Kristen's got her hand raised. Kristen doesn't cook. Kristen, an air fryer is a countertop appliance. Anyway, what was your question?
We actually got into a little bit of a domestic dispute over air fryer. I was offered an air fryer for Christmas or a Lululemon sweatshirt, and I went with the Lululemon sweatshirt. But that was not my question.
And
my
there's question our winner for the most Kristen thing that's going to be said this morning. Yes, Greg.
Oh, you had a question, Dr. Lyerly.
My question was, when you grill corn on the cob, do you soak it in the husk and grill it in the husk, or do you husk it and then grill it naked?
I do not grill it naked, no, just because, again, I've done the husking. I like the husking. I like the heart wants what the heart wants.
There it goes.
Greg, what was you going to say?
Two things. One, corn, try once, just once. Go with me here. No butter, no salt, lime juice. Change your life. Second,
interesting.
What I'm about to say, I want to make sure I'm saying this with all due respect to you, Dr. Lyerly. This is not based on you as a woman or as a mother. It surprises me that you do not like to cook, because to me, you seem like the type of individual who doesn't just like to cook. You love to cook, and you would make dishes that people would be like, I want to take pictures of this.
No, that is absolutely not who I am. Do you know who is like that, though? All of my children.
Good.
All of my sons.
Excellent.
Well, they'd starve.
I know. It worked out really well.
Look, Mom's giving us SpaghettiOs again. You know?
Hey, I put hot dogs in there. I made it international.
I'm like a cut up an apple and eat some peanut butter kind of gal. I like to keep it real simple.
I'm the same kind of lady. I do the same thing. I like peanut butters and apples. But, yeah, it's just surprising to me. But that's good. And you said you taught your boys how to do laundry. I think that's very important. I think that's all the good things.
My job is not to coddle them and to prevent them from learning. My job is to put them out there and teach them how to survive in the world. And I think I've done a pretty good job.
Yes, ma'am.
And they don't seem too, you know, too affected.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah. Now, we mentioned it was National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. Do you make chocolate chip cookies?
I do bake. I like to bake.
All right. And anything special about your chocolate chip cookies?
I have to give props to my dear friend Ann Wyland of Oregon, Wisconsin, who taught me to put Crisco, half butter flavored Crisco, half butter, It makes your cookies rise, oh, and they are delightful.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
No, oh, cookies.
I got to go add to the shopping list. Mine is just a variation on the, remember Mrs. Fields cookies?
Oh, yes.
Mrs. Fields, what the cookie recipe there calls for, along with the flour, but also some finely chopped oatmeal. So it's not an oatmeal cookie, but some finely chopped oatmeal. And along with the chocolate chips, a little bit of finely chopped chocolate chips going into the batter.
So wait, there's oatmeal and chocolate chips on top of the chocolate chips?
Not on top, mixed in with the batter.
Interesting. It's,
yeah, just gives it a whole different texture and a little bit more of a chocolate taste. So there you go.
You know what I really love, though? Yeah. The cookies I really love are monster cookies, because it reminds me of my grandmother, and I have her recipe, which is for like one gazillion monster cookies, because she was a farm wife, so she had to make a ton at a time. So yes, so I love to make my grandma's
monster cookies?
Recipe. Oh, it's like peanut butter and oatmeal.
Say
and
more.
Chocolate chips. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're
please and thank you.
Good. Yes. Right. I'll make you some.
Yes. Okay. Let's see. I want to get to something Kristen has been working on through the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. But before we get to that political news, let me get one state headline in from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Roughly 192,000 Wisconsin voter registrations are deactivated during routine maintenance. The story from Mia Thurow from the Journal Sentinel, who noted that this is part of a legally required four-year maintenance process, where these 192,369 individuals, they were sent mailings regarding their registration status. You know, some people responded. It was a pretty small number here. I want to say, here it is, 9,500 voters responded saying, yeah, I'm still here. But the other, you know, 190 plus thousand didn't and hadn't voted for 4 years, and so they were deactivated. Boys and girls, that's how it's supposed to work, is routine maintenance. And every so often you do the routine maintenance. What doesn't work is if you're politically motivated and you run to the courts and say, we demand you strike all these people from the voter rolls because we say so. Wisconsin Elections Commission's doing a great job. Let them do their job. We have the best run elections in the country. And let's say we try to keep it that way, shall we? Mm-hmm. There's my public service announcement for today. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, ACOG, was in the news last week for taking a particular stance when it comes to national politics.
Yeah, they sure were. I'm really excited about this move. So ACOG is obviously an organization of OBGYN doctors, and our job is to take care of women. And in an environment where the President of the United States has issued executive orders that have really made it impossible for us to fulfill our mission, specifically to take care of women and to offer comprehensive obstetrical and gynecological care, ACOG took the unprecedented step of saying, we're not going to take federal funds to do the work that we've been doing together, which is research and public health infrastructure work and work on preventive care. ACOG said, no, we need to take care of our patients in an objective way that we know is science and evidence-based. So they said no. And I'm really proud of them for doing it.
So they can do that. And how are they, I mean, how are they backfilling, I guess, is one way to put it.
You know, they have a foundation. We have members who pay dues. Mm-hmm. So for the time being, that's where those funds will be coming from. It, day by day, we'll see what happens next year. In the past, it has been, we've received millions of dollars from the federal government. You know, throughout COVID, there were times where we partnered, and there have been extensive partnerships with the federal government. There have been a number of different initiatives that we've worked on together, and those initiatives are still there. It's just the funding piece that's gotten very tricky when you're working with the Trump administration.
Well, and I'm sure this is a little bit of apples and oranges, but when you look at what's happening with colleges and universities and their research funding, mm-hmm. and this is research funding, there's nothing political about the research that can, you know, save lives, develop new products for the economy and all of that. But in the, you know, the MAGA war on education, and really that's all it is. Don't tell me it's about indoctrination or socialism or whatever. It's a war on higher education. And in doing so, They're putting an end to the funding that puts an end to all kinds of federal research. They are endangering the visas of foreign students. Congressman Tom Tiffany was in the headlines recently for, you know, seconding that thought of targeting all these people with student visas and running them out of the country, you know, on behalf of what? You know, some xenophobia. But these are colleges and universities that have foundations, and that can't replace all of the federal funding. But it is still a little puzzling to me that so many of these colleges and universities are acquiescing, shall we say, to what the Trump administration is demanding, and that groups like ACOG can say, no, we just don't need your money anymore.
It would have been a huge hit to who we are and the work that we do if we had continued to take that federal money. But, you know, I'll tell you, I just spoke with a friend of mine who is a specialist in St. Louis, and she is a researcher, and they have moved their lab to China because they can't get the federal funding here in the United States anymore. And in order for them to continue doing the important work that they do in preventing the spread of infectious disease, they've got to go somewhere else. So this is millions of dollars in research leaving the United States, now going to China, which doesn't feel good given, you know, the relationship that we have with China and the Chinese government. But, you know, they don't have alternatives. And we're seeing this happen all over the country.
Yeah. The Trump administration, of course, is trying to take this all as some kind of a victory. An HHS spokesperson says, this is great news for the American taxpayer. Mm-hmm. ACOG taking itself off the federal payroll might be the most responsible budgeting decision that they've made. Whatever, dude. There's a reason why governments, responsible governments, would invest in public health and research and things like that. And again, it's not like you're saving the taxpayer any money, spokesperson dude. Well, you're just giving that money to the wealthy through tax cuts. So stand down.
Yes. And let's remember that women's health in this country is not in a good place. I mean, we've got the highest maternal mortality rate. More women die as a result of their pregnancy in this country than in any other developed country. Not by a little, by a lot. So we've got a lot of work to do. But with the loss of this federal funding, with so much of the dismantling that the Trump administration has done in our healthcare system, we can anticipate that our outcomes will be worse, and it's going to take months to years to be able to see the effects.
As noted by Axios, ACOG is one of the few medical associations, I'm sorry, let me say that correctly. ACOG is one of a few medical associations vocally pushing back against Trump and Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s health policy. Healthcare during pregnancy has become a flashpoint. Kennedy has removed the recommendation that pregnant people get COVID-19 vaccines, and a recent advisory panel to the FDA cast doubt on the safety of antidepressants during pregnancy. ACOG said the composition of that panel was, quote, alarmingly unbalanced, and there's robust evidence showing the medications are safe during pregnancy. The group boycotted a June meeting of Kennedy's handpicked vaccine advisory committee, saying that a purge in June of the panel's 17 advisors compromised its credibility.
Yes.
Yes.
That is just true.
Yes to all of it, to doing the right thing.
Yeah. You know? I mean, the American College of Pediatricians is actually suing the Trump administration over their vaccine recommendations because it's hurting kids. And the pediatricians are the least political. They don't even have a political action committee, but they know that it is making it harder for them to take care of their patients. We know that when ACIP does not recommend vaccines, that insurance companies won't pay for vaccines. And that means that these life-saving, literally life-saving vaccines for children will not be covered by insurance. So we are having to take drastic measures. These are really, really uncomfortable times.
Yeah. And look, it's easy to classify this as heroic, but it really is just standing up for what's right,
yes,
which we need more of at this critical time more than ever. Dr. Lyerly, so great to talk to you again. See you on Friday, we hope.
Sounds good. See you
all
then.
Right. Have a great start to the week. Coming up, a local update is next for some of you. For others, we're going to talk to Jimmy Cuska a bit. And then in our next hour, John and Gordy from our civic media station in Madison. And then Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance on giving small businesses a voice, the way they're being hurt by Trumponomics. That's all ahead. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ALL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ALL to 321-321. That's ALL to 321-321.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Showman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We're back on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, WBZH, The Buzz of the North. Greg Gunderson here again with Rachel Casey, talking about what's happening in Hayward this morning and about what's going on around Hayward. Rachel's not from here. I'm from a little ways away from here. Originally grew up in the Park Falls area, but love making radio in Hayward. Why do we love the Hayward area most in the midsummer, late summer, early fall? Rachel, what's our big draw to the area? Say it with me. Mushrooms.
Okay. I was going to say Northwoods Foray, specifically in cable. Like,
I gave you a whole range. I gave you a multiple week-long range of time. Yeah, no, yeah. I think that's a minus one, Rachel. But Rachel brings up a good point, specifically the Northwoods Foray, which was our, I'll say, baptism to the foraging scene here in the Northwoods. And when we say foraging, I think a lot of people are immediately picturing straw baskets, straw hats, and a lot of sweat, maybe more in a field than anything. But no, I mean, if you've got trees around you, you've got what we want, especially if you've got what you would call a forest. Of any reasonable size. If you could spend an hour walking around in the forest, okay, cool. I guarantee you there are more mushrooms there than you would probably believe, and especially more edible ones. We've already talked about it a couple times because it is such an accessible thing to most of the people within our listening area. Naturally, nothing is accessible to everybody, but I urge people to check Facebook first and foremost. I'm further away than ever from suggesting Facebook to people for any reason. However, it is indispensable for some things because some communities only exist there. And foraging might be the best one. And honestly, I'll say it out loud. Part of the reason for that is that Facebook is now appealing more to an older audience than ever before. I have been their target demographic for their entire existence, Facebook's entire existence, for up until I would say 4 or 5 years ago when they started to transition on, honestly, probably selling more political ads, but in general appealing to that older audience with their user friendliness. It's a compliment to them. They've really found out how to spread out from that teenager audience that every website used to appeal to almost exclusively, and they've made themselves unintimidating. But all that to say, the benefit, the upshot for everybody listening, and for as it was for you and I, is that you can go on there, you can type in to pick your hometown, Delano, Park Falls, Hayward. Put that word in, put in foray or mushroom or foraging, and just hit search, and you'll get any number of events. Even in the smallest town I can think of, there's a foray group there. And yeah, there is a little bit of that Northwoods effect, that small town effect of combining areas a little bit, which is part of why that one in Cable is so spectacular. It's been at Lakewoods Resort the last couple years. We've done a couple different versions of it these last couple years because there are so many different facets of it and different ways to spend a day at this particular event. But that's a lot of words. That's all to say, find a foray.
Do it.
There is that expert you need. And I don't want to speak on behalf of anybody and offer their teaching, but I've never found a more willing group of people at the same time.
Yeah.
I immediately just thought of 8 names, just immediately popped to my head. The coolest people too. And it certainly helps that you and I are, we're socially interesting people. And go figure, so too are a lot of the mushroom hunters out there in the world. And the immediate effect of that, again, the upshot for the listener, for the person attending their first foray, is, hey, you want to jump into this? Like, that person, you know, that one kid back when you were 12 or 13 who just treated you in that right way you didn't know you needed, bridging the gap between you and the people you wanted to hang out with, just including you in a way that you didn't. Yes, that's like 75% of the people at the foray are those people seeking to be inclusive in that non-invasive, non-harmful way that will leave you alone if you say, nah, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm doing that gray thing where I just turn everything into a pile of compliments. But it really was one of the coolest experiences I had. I thought, okay, you and I are about to throw on some backpacks and grab some paper bags, and we'd been out in the woods quite a bit. We'd been successful finding a thing or two. We still haven't found a wild morel.
Insane.
Oh, I'm not admitting that out loud a second time. So if you didn't hear that, too bad. I'm not admitting that twice. We will, though. I mean, my dad was talking about my grandmother's traditional spot for them, so I think
they're
we've
here.
Got a. They're all over the place. Just if you ask somebody who finds morels where they find their morels, they'll say in the woods, and then they'll laugh at you if you ask any more detailed questions than that. Translating that statement, if somebody shows you where they find their morels, pay them lots of money.
Yeah.
Like that's
they want to marry you.
I understand how wild the juxtaposition of my previous statements might be. These are the most generous and giving people I've ever met. Unless you ask them where they find their morels. It's incredible how guarded that can be. It's like, I think we've lost a little bit. I know some families, some cultures, everybody's different. But I think in general, the guarding of a family recipe might be a little less than ever before, as the internet has disseminated so many. Oh my goodness, these recipes are identical. You know, you get so much of that. Morel spots are not the same. There's no website out there offering a compelling reason for you to let other people into your spot. Oh, man. So it's about to turn into begging is what it's about to turn into. We actually went to a morel-specific event over by Rachel's hometown earlier this summer, and it was just a little bit. Actually, was that technically still late spring? What month was that?
That was in May. That's prime month.
Okay.
Him, yeah.
Yeah, it should have been the beginning, yeah. But it was a cold May over there and had been leading up to it. So there just wasn't enough energy in the air. It was too cold. The mushrooms weren't, they weren't showing themselves for any but the most experienced and fortunate of searchers. Somebody found 30 of them. We found none. But we'll go a walking in the woods together sometime. I think we'll find a way to get a microphone out there perhaps and see if we can make something like that happen. You've been listening to WBZH's Local Report, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Carry the buzz wherever you go on your smartphone with the Civic Media app, free on the App Store or Google Play. Me and Rachel every Monday, Pat Kreitlow, me and Joel every few days for WBZH and Civic Media.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Texas was supposed to vote this afternoon on new congressional district maps, but Democrats have left the state.
Governor Abbott, in a late-night letter, said the walkout by Democrats amounts to an abandonment or forfeiture of an elected state office, and he threatened to remove Democrats from office if they don't return by 3 p.m. today. The Texas Attorney General has said lawmakers could be arrested.
And the House rules and the Senate rules both allow for these people to be arrested if they leave.
The Texas Republican Party calling Democrats cowards and demanding law enforcement hunt down those who think they are above the law.
ABC's Christiane Cordero, the newly drawn maps would likely hand the Republicans 5 more seats in Congress by splitting up highly Democratic districts. South Korea has begun removing loudspeakers that for years have blasted propaganda across to North Korea. A far-right Israeli leader praying at Jerusalem's most sensitive holy site on Sunday, triggering